This is LBC with Andrew Pearce. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
I'm asking you, as Parliament resumes on Monday, I think it's unlikely, I can't be certain, of course, that there will be any military action this weekend. But I'm asking, shouldn't the Prime Minister, having secured the backing of the Cabinet to support Washington and Paris, if they are indeed going to lead the military action, should she not just debate this issue in Parliament? But isn't it time she talked to the nation, an address to the nation? Let's hear from her why she thinks it's so important, because I've not heard anything so far that makes me think it's right for Britain to sign up and join a military operation when we've got, as somebody said earlier, the smallest army since Crimean war times, and when the Russian bear is lurking in the background. You really want to hurt Russia? Withdraw from the World Cup. That would be catastrophic for the ego of Putin, particularly if other teams pulled out. Wouldn't affect Assad, of course, in Syria, but Russia is a big part of this. Now, before we go to your calls on that, because we've got a whole switchboard full, I want to go now to Washington, because the United Nations, the American ambassador to the United Nations, she's been calling for, that's Nikki Haley, she's been calling for other countries to not allow, quotes, the use of chemical weapons to become normalised in Syria. Simon Marks is LBC's Washington correspondent. Simon, good evening to you.
Hello, Andrew.
Well, if we talked a few days ago, Simon, I'd have thought it was imminent, with Donald Trump tweeting that there were going to be new missiles and smart missiles and they were coming his way soon. Now it appears they're still rowing back.
Look, I think it's very interesting to hear the way you laid this out coming into this interview, Andrew, because many of the questions that you're suggesting need to be answered in Britain are questions that have to be answered here as well, some would suggest. Does Donald Trump need to seek congressional approval for any kind of military strike on Syria? He didn't do it last time. Might he try and secure the backing of Congress for any kind of military action? I think that's doubtful. Will Donald Trump at some point himself make a televised address to the American people to try and explain why a president who just 10 days ago was talking about immediately withdrawing American forces from Syria now is deepening America's involvement in that country, and doing so in a way that risks some of the support that Donald Trump won in the 2016 presidential election campaign? Because remember, many core Donald Trump supporters backed him because they believed him when he said that he wasn't going to deepen America's entanglements in far-off countries about which they knew little and cared even less. The stakes are very high. Nikki Haley at the United Nations has, as you said, been calling for action. Russia, she said, can complain all it wants about fake news, but no one is buying its lies and its cover-up. But there is a real issue here for US military planners. They're showing every sign of planning some kind of an attack. We've learned in the last couple of hours that the USS Winston Churchill, an American warship, a guided missile destroyer, has now sailed into the Mediterranean. It carries 90 Tomahawk missiles in its payload, and perhaps it may play a role in the attack on Syria. But what are they going to strike, especially now that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has had so much advanced knowledge of some kind of military assault and has had the ability to move some of his aircraft out of the obvious locations that the United States may have targeted and put some of his facilities under the protection of the Russians? And what happens, Andrew, if these airstrikes kill Russians? You've already got Antonio Guterres, the United Nations Secretary General, warning today that the Cold War is back and that it is less controllable than it was back in the 1960s and 1970s. What on earth happens if Russian service personnel get caught up and killed in an American missile strike? This is something that worries US Defense Secretary James Mattis, who says that he's got two concerns about going forward with with military action. One is the death of civilians on the ground, but the second is the prospect of this becoming a wider conflict. And by that, he clearly means the prospect of it becoming a conflict not between President Donald Trump and President Bashar al-Assad, but an armed conflict between the United States and Russia.
It's, the stakes are so high, aren't they? And of course, Mattis has that nickname of Mad Dog, but he is being sober and sensible.
Yes, I think many people here believe that President Trump hired him because he genuinely thought that he was the mad dog. And of course, with hindsight, we all now realise that he is a voice of restraint constantly inside the White House. This is not a zero political sum game, though, for President Trump. I mean, having said what he said on Twitter earlier in the week, if he doesn't now launch military action, he will be accused by his detractors of effectively being complicit with a man that he has called a gas-killing animal, namely Bashar al-Assad. I mean, you said you're going to go to the mat, and then if you don't do it, well, what's the impact of that on your own political standing? But also, Andrew, I would be remiss if I did not point out that actually what Donald Trump has spent most of his time dealing with at the White House today is not Syria, but the new book that's about to come out by the former fired FBI director James Comey, someone that Donald Trump on Twitter a few hours ago referred to as an unfaithful slime ball. Oh. And as you look forward to the weekend, I would point out that the first television interview with Mr. Comey in full is due to air at 10 o'clock in the evening on Sunday here on the east coast of the United States. That is 5 o'clock in the morning Damascus time.
Oh no.
I'm not cynical enough to suggest that Donald Trump might seek to change the national conversation in the early evening Sunday here in Washington, D.C., but you might want to stay near your radio set just in case.
He wouldn't be the first, would he, Simon? He wouldn't be last. Simon, thank you for that. That's Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.